The question was asked, is there a problem for a person to go hunting? So, this question is most famously asked of the Noda Yehuda, Rav Yecheskel Landau, who was the famous rabbi of Prague. He was born, it says here, at 1713, and at 1755, at the ripe old age of 42, he became chief rabbi of Prague and all of Bohemia. Okay, so Rav Yecheskel Landau was one of the great rabbis of all time. He wrote his famous responsa, Noda Yehuda, named after his father, Rav Yehuda Landau, and he wrote the commentary on Talmud called Tzion LeNefesh Chaya, named after his mother, Chaya. His name was Rav Yecheskel Landau, right? His commentary is one of the more important responses that we have. And in this responsa, he writes to a man, he says, Rav Gumpricht Oppenheim. He says, Michtavo kibalti. I received his letter. V'imeneni makirom. I don't know him. V'lo yadan alei. I don't know who this guy is. Ach asher ba lishol shilta u'mishtai b'lishna dechach metanim shiv l'kol shoel. If someone's asking in an intelligent way, and he's talking like a wise person, so I answer whoever asks. He says, I'm not sure who you are, but you ask a good question, you ask it in a good manner, so I'm going to answer. V'shoresh she'elato, at the root of his question. Ish echad asher zikau Hashem b'nachala rechavad. There's a person who's very wealthy. V'yesh lo kfarim v'yarot. He owns villages, he owns forests. Asher b'yarot, this man owns forests, that in those forests, tirmos kol chay toyar, he has all kinds of wild animals in his forests. Imutar lo lelech be'atzmo, is he allowed to go himself? Lirot bekanes reifa, is he allowed to use the fiery tube, which is the way he's talking about a gun, right? A fiery tube. Latzud sa'it, to hunt. Oy masul yisrael la'asot davar zeh, or is it prohibited for a Jew to do that? Imishum tzar balei chayim. Do I say it's needlessly paining the Hashem's creatures? Omishum bal tashchit, or is it considered you're just wasting? Ve'imishum shnagu bo isur tzar balei chayim, or is it because our custom is to treat it as tzar balei chayim, as Tosus right? He quotes in the name of the Rosh, kol sheyesh bo mishum refuah, en bo mishum derche emori, anything that we use for healing, we don't view it as a pagan custom, if it's something that's medicinal. And Tosus over there writes, even though tzar balei chayim is biblical, if you have a benefit, then there's no problem. Uvemet, in Tosfos, it seems different. Tosus over there, we have to have a background to the Tosus. Tosus quotes the story that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was headed to do a mitzvah, and he passed by Rebbe's house. Rebbe was so happy, he went out to greet him, and Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair said, I'm going to a mitzvah, I can't stay. Rebbe said, you won't join me for a meal? He said, I can't. There are people in captivity, I have to free them, I can't. But on my way back, I'll come. Okay, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair is headed back. Rebbe runs out to greet him. So Rebbe's very happy. He says, oh, now you'll eat by me. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair says, no, I'm not eating here. So he says, what happened? He says, I see in your house, you have chamrei chivrita, you have white donkeys. And white donkeys, they're known that they're harmful to people. They give a kick, they maim people. And I see your house has the angel of death in it. I can't eat here. So Rebbe says, I'll cut their legs, they won't harm anyone. I'll send a servant right now, we'll cut their legs. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair says, Tzar balei chayim, you're just going to hurt the animals, you can't do that. So he says, I'll free them, I won't have them in my possession. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair says, then for sure they'll harm people. So he says, I'll send a servant to kill all of them. So he says, that's mal tashchis, then you're wasting. You can't just kill them. So Rebbe was stuck. What's he supposed to do? It says something happened, and it became obvious that Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair couldn't stay. And with that, the story ended. So Tosus over there says, wait a second. So he's allowed to kill them, and about that, Rebbe didn't answer Tzar Balei Chaim. When he said, I'll cut their legs, then Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair says, you can't pain the animal. So Rebbe says, oh, but then it's a kosher alternative to kill them. Then killing them is not Tzar Balei Chaim. That's what Tosus says. So Tosus says, you see from here, Tosus writes, Vim Tomar, you'll tell me, Amayli Parich, why didn't the Gemara ask Veikatzar Balei Chaim that to kill the animal that's also paining them? Bishdamam Shum Bal Tashchit Leka Kivan Lichvodoshin Melech Osin Ken and Kanashchata. You could say, Vavi Kmo Tachichin Shen Me'amane, Latzar Balei Chaim Hechutar, Vish Tomar, Deshani Kvod HaMelech, Shu Kvod Lecho Yisrael, Vat Kvod Rubim, Dach Tzar Balei Chaim, Kan Shon Tosut. Okay. Vim Kin Mashmam Divrehim. What we see from that Tosus is that Tzar Balei Chaim seems to be even more stringent than Bal Tashchis. And Tosus seems to say that you wouldn't permit Tzar Balei Chaim only if it's honoring the masses or the king.
Tzar Balei Chaim being cruelty.
Yeah, hurting the animals unnecessarily. But Tosfos writes bottom line, Tzar Balei Chaim is only prohibited. It's only prohibited to pain the animal. Kshem tzara bli revach, when you're doing it without any gain. Meaning the Torah allowed me to slaughter an animal, to use its hide. The Torah allowed me to pain the animal for my benefit. Where is there Tzar Balei Chaim where it's suffering and I don't need it to suffer? It's needless suffering. I gain nothing out of it. You loaded the donkey in a way that the donkey's suffering. There's no reason to do that. Tosus is bothered that it says in the Gemara that when a king would die, one of the things they do is they'd slice the legs of his animals. No one else could ride on his horses. It says they didn't kill the animals, they would slice their legs, and everyone would see the maimed animal, and it was a sign that once the king is dead, no one else could use his horse. So Tosa says that's what, when you show honor to a king, it's showing honor to the masses. This was a custom of a way of showing honor to the king. That's why that's permissible. So he says, wait, what about Bal Tashchit? Right? So that's the discussion in Tosfos. Is that called wasteful? So the question is, which concerned Tosfos more? Which do I have to deal with? Wasting, Bal Tashchit, or painting the animal? So in two places, Tosus asks, the order of Tosus' question is the opposite. In one place, it sounds like, you answered my Tzar Balei Chaim, but what about Bal Tashchit? It's wasteful. And in another place, Tosus sounds like, you answered my Bal Tashchit, but what about Tzar Balei Chaim? In two places in Shas, we see the order reversed. Which one is considered a weightier question? Which one is more stringent? Says, says the Noda Behuda. Tosfos seems to hold that Tzar Balei Chaim is doraita, is biblical. The Torah tells us the concept of Tzar Balei Chaim about a pack animal. If you see a pack animal suffering, you have to go help. So Tosfos goes with the opinion that it's not only a pack animal, any suffering of an animal that's unnecessary is prohibited biblically. What about Bal Tashchit, being wasteful? The Torah says that about a tree. The Torah says, you're laying siege on a city, don't just cut down the fruit-bearing trees around the city. That's wasteful. You don't need it. That tree will support you as you're laying siege on the city. Don't be wasteful. What about other wastefulness that's not about a tree? Is that doraita or not? Tosa seems to hold it's not. That the wastefulness that the Torah prohibited was only something growing from the ground. But if I'm not cutting down a tree, if I'm being wasteful because you have a perfectly good cell phone and you're throwing it to the garbage, that is not biblical. That's the rabbi's expansion. That's according to Tosfos. So again, Tosfos makes Tzar Balei Chaim broad, biblically. If you pain an animal unnecessarily in any way, that's biblical according to Tosfos. On the flip side, according to Tosfos, Bal Tashchis, being wasteful, when it's not relevant to a tree, to something growing from the ground, that's only a rabbinic expansion of the Torah. Rambam, on the other hand, writes, if a person cuts down a fruit-bearing tree, then he would get lashes if he was destructive. And it's not only a tree, says the Rambam. Anytime you cut down, it's not only during a siege, but anytime you'd cut down a fruit-bearing tree, that's biblical. And then the Rambam writes, it's not only a tree, but even if you just bash dishes because you feel like it, so you're being destructive. A person decides he's upset. He slams the door and breaks the door. A person walks into the house and it seems cool. He puts a hammer through the window. So a guy just won the lottery. So he's a multimillionaire, right? Powerball. So he comes home and bashes all the windows. I can afford it. No, you can't. The Torah doesn't allow you to do it. That's Baal Tashchis, says the Rambam. So Rambam learns that's Baal Tashchis. However, he says we can't give him biblical lashes over this because it's not the biblical Baal Tashchis. So Rambam also goes like Tosfos. Let's just finish the thought. But he says, I shouldn't really expand on this. Because the bottom line is that when there's a human need, you can't argue it's Tzar Baalei Chaim. And step one, you can't argue Tzar Baalei Chaim when I have a need, I'm getting something out of it. You ride on a horse, you don't start saying, is it comfortable or not comfortable? Does the horse like it or not? I have a need, the horse is there to serve me, I'm allowed to ride on the horse. I want to shear the sheep, I'm not asking if the sheep feels like getting a haircut today or not. I don't have to worry about it. Tzar Baalei Chaim does not come into play when the human has a certain need from it. Secondly, the prohibition of Tzar Baalei Chaim, we see from that Gemara we discussed in Tractate Chulin, from that Gemara we see that's only when the animal's suffering. But if the animal's going to die, so then we don't say killing the animal is Tzar Baalei Chaim, right? Because he offered him, when he said Tzar Baalei Chaim, he said, okay, then I'll kill the white donkeys. So you see, there's no problem with that. What about Baal Tashchis? I'm going to use the hide after I go hunting. That's not Baal Tashchis. And he says, Baal Tashchis, the Torah says, is a fruit-bearing tree people will benefit from. No one's enjoying the wild tiger that's running in the forest. It's not that by you hunting it, you could say it's Baal Tashchis. When does the Torah say Baal Tashchis? Leave the fruit-bearing tree because people will enjoy it. Don't be destructive with it. Well, a tiger is not like a fruit-bearing tree. You can't say that when I hunt the tiger, it's Baal Tashchis. People will enjoy the wild tiger running around the forest. Wrong. So you can't say that's Baal Tashchis. No one's enjoying the wild tiger running out there. What people enjoy is when they can buy the leather from the tiger or the meat. So you can't say that's Baal Tashchis. He says, what are you going to say? The minig is Jews don't go hunting. You can't say that. Who has the ability to go hunting? What Jew can leave his ghetto and go into the forest and start hunting? You can't say there's a minig. So he says, okay, halachically, I can't say it's prohibited. I can't say it's Tzar Baalei Chaim because you have a benefit from it. I can't say it's Baal Tashchis because it's not Baal Tashchis. I can't say there's a minik. Who can say there's a minik on such a thing? Jews don't go hunting. Until now, he says, I wrote you the halachic answer. But, he says, I am very much in shock on such a question. We never found Jews going hunting. Who do you find goes hunting? The cruel Nimrod, Esav. The descendants of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are going to go hunting? He says, how could you? The question bothers me. He says, halachically, I can't tell you it's prohibited. But wait a second. The Ramah quotes, on the one hand, the Ramah quotes, you can't say that something that's, we make a bracha when we buy a new item, yet we have a minhag that we don't make a bracha over clothing that were made of hides. Why? We make a shechayanu, but we don't make it on shoes, because shoes are made of hides. And Hashem has mercy on the animal. And if you skinned the animal, and you killed the animal in order to make that garment, we don't make a blessing over it. So it's true that the Ramah says that really that's not such a strong reason.
So do we make
and many times you took the hide of an animal that already died. So what are you going to say? Don't make it the blessing because the animal had to die? Man, everyone dies at some point. But we still have that custom. So even though technically the Ramah quoted and he said it's not a strong reason because you have hides that you buy from a non-Jew. You didn't kill the animal in order to get the hide. You buy the shoe, you didn't kill the animals. That's a reason not to make a blessing. Nonetheless, that's our custom. So many people don't make blessings on clothing that came from hides. But he says, wait a second. So a Jew will go and kill an animal when he knows he has no need for the animal. He's not interested in the hide. He's not interested in the meat. What's he doing? He's killing the animal because he's bored and it's a pastime for him to go hunting. So what will a person say? No, it's a bad idea to leave bears and wolves and wild animals out in the field. They're dangerous to people, right? He says that's not true. He says, first of all, we don't say that every animal that lives out in the wild is a danger. What we say it about is a snake. If you see a snake, kill it. A snake, you have to assume, will harm people. But we don't say it about other things.
And what about if it's a danger to your livestock?
Then for that's a different story. Then it's a need. And for sure you should kill it. That's not the... And he says, when do we say this? If the animal's already gone and done harm, then you say, find it and kill it. Because you know it's a harmful animal. But we don't go out into the forest and say, let's go kill every bear and because they're all a danger to humanity. We don't say that. Ah, you might tell me, that's when there's an owner. That's when they seem domesticated. There I say, you can't assume they're harmful. But when they're out in the wild, it's a good idea to kill them. He says that that's not what we're talking about here. Why? Because where does the Gemara say, I'm allowed to kill them unless they were domesticated? The Gemara says it when they start coming to harm us. If they approach town, then the Gemara says, kill them. The Gemara says, don't wait to see if that bear will be harmful. The whole argument in the Gemara is, someone adopted a bear, brought him up and domesticated him. Do I say he's a danger or not? There we rule that if he believes he's domesticated him, the only exception is a snake. Every other animal, an owner is entitled to say it's domesticated, it's not harming anyone. It's a machlokas. A snake, it says, yeah. A snake, you don't have to believe him that he domesticated a poisonous snake, right?
And a non-poisonous snake?
I don't know.
Okay.
It says snake, I assume it means poisonous.
There's a story in Brazil, I don't know, that a woman had a snake, not poisonous. And she used to sleep with the snake. And she started noticing that at night, the snake was like starting to lay straight instead of in circles. And she asked to the veterinary, and the veterinary said, like, get rid of the snake because she's trying to measure you to try to eat you.
So, yeah, I heard that.
I say that even non-poisonous can be pretty dangerous.
It was a specialist who said that.
That's
one of the ones.
That's pretty cool.
There's another one actually about a similar story where a woman was, you know, pet snake and everything, and the snake was in a corner and just making weird sounds, and up like this, and so she called a specialist and said, "What's going on with the snake? It's just like it's never acted like this." And he said, "Oh yeah, the snake is hunting you. You should probably get that snake out of there right now." So she called some people and they got the snake out. But it's kind of, yeah, it's never trust those snakes.
So that's right. So,
food.
I've
heard said that one. That's right. It's some pretty crazy stories.
So that's, yeah. So coming back to here.
So don't stress snake.
Well, if I go to Africa, I'm going to have
so the Gemara says, okay. That's all about wild animals that come into civilization. There we say, on Shabbos, kill them in a roundabout way. On a weekday, kill them ordinarily, because we're not waiting to find out where they're going with that. But to go out into the wild territory, let me find every wolf and kill it. Let me find every bear and kill it. He says, what do you want from them? That's where they live. They're not coming to harm anyone. You have no reason to assume they're going to be harmful. You can't say, I'm doing a mitzvah. He says, what's a person really doing? It's a person who has desire to kill. He has desire to go hunting. And then he wants to think, I'm doing a mitzvah. And he says, if a person says, I need it, my parnas is, I go hunting, I sell these animals, I sell these hides, then there's no question. Just like we're allowed to slaughter animals, you're allowed to go hunting and collect animals, you're allowed to hunt fish, you're allowed to hunt animals. Fine, if that's his livelihood. Because he needs it. And it doesn't matter, you know, if that's his livelihood, fine. Hashem gave us these animals for our needs. But when a person doesn't need it for his parnasa, but the only reason he's going out there is to satisfy his sense of cruelty. So that's not right. So he says, you can't say it's parnasa, even if you sell the hides and you sell the meat, but that's not why he's going. And he said, until now, I said the way I think a human being should behave. I don't think a person should come close to such a thing, says the Nodeh Behuda. But now I'll tell you that I think it's even prohibited. You know, he started step one and said, halachically, it's permissible. He went to step two and he said, look, it's not the way a Jew should behave. And now he comes back to step three and he says, I'll tell you the truth. Really, I think it's prohibited. Why? Because when people go hunting, they're really endangering themselves. What are people doing? They're going to a place where there are wild animals. They're going to hunt. Now that means there's a danger because you're not only hunting one bear. Maybe there are three bears, the bear and its cubs. Maybe there isn't just one wolf, there's a pack of wolves. So you're going to a place where you know there's a certain amount of danger involved. And the Torah says you have to watch out for your life. You want to know who's the best hunter? Esav. And what does Esav say? He says, Hinei anochi holech lamut. What's pshat? He says, I'm endangering my life every day hunting. Why did Esav say, I know I'm going to die? Esav was saying, my job is a job that involves a lot of danger. The odds are, I'm always on the verge of death. So why would a Jew stick himself into places where there are packs of evil animals? They could really hurt him. And the Torah permits a person to endanger himself when he needs a livelihood. That's why we're allowed to go to sea. The Gemara says, we're allowed to go to sea, but there's a danger going to sea. Yeah, the Torah allowed a person a certain amount of danger to make a living. That's why the Torah says, Ve'ilav hu noseh et nafsho. The Torah describes a person who invests his life to make a living. From there, our sages derived, you're allowed to encounter a certain amount of danger to make a livelihood. That's what the Torah, the Gemara says. A guy climbs a tree to harvest fruit because that's his livelihood. Why is a Jew allowed to do that? From this pasuk. Ah, he might fall and die. Right. The Torah entitles you a certain amount of danger for a livelihood. But when a person doesn't need it for a livelihood, all he's doing is because he enjoys it. It's a thrill. So that says the Nodeh Behuda, I think that's the prohibition of V'nishmartim. So the Nodeh Behuda teaches us an interesting thing. He says V'nishmartim is a level, call it grade A. Call it a level 5. If we're going to go from 5 to 10, level 5 danger is V'nishmartim. Level 6 danger is a bigger danger. Level 7 danger is a bigger danger. You're allowed to do level 5, 6, and 7 for a livelihood. What the Nodeh Behuda is saying is you're allowed to enter the range where the Torah prohibits V'nishmartim in order to do a livelihood. This Nodeh Behuda is very important. And then he quotes from the Rambam, that the Rambam writes, you're not allowed to walk under a wall that you're uncertain whether that wall is going to fall. You're not allowed to walk across a bridge when you're not sure if that bridge is safe. You're not allowed to climb a ladder when you're not sure that that ladder is stable. All these things are prohibited. And now, says the Nodeh Behuda, we'll take questions in a minute, I think that the thing is prohibited, and I think that the thing is a danger. And now I'll add a third point. That our sages say that when a person walks in a place of danger, so that's one of the things that cause all his transgressions to come up to heaven. That in heaven they look at him and they say, hello, does he deserve to live or die? They look down at a person and they say, he just endangered himself. So that makes it like Yom Kippur for him. In heaven, they bring him up to justice. Right away, they start rejudging him. They say, okay, what's this guy done wrong? Is he allowed to leave this dangerous situation alive? That's why I tell people, sometimes say, I'm going to drink a little bit and drive. And I say, it's not only about the law. The Torah says you're not allowed to do something that'll endanger you. So I had a good friend who drank one Purim night and went to drive. And I begged him, don't drive. He was supposed to give me a ride home. I said, please don't drive. I said, I'm not coming in the car with you. Don't drive. So the guy says, everything's all right. I said, it's not all right. I'll get you a taxi. The guy says, no, how will I get my car tomorrow? I'll give you the money. You'll come back and take your car. No, it's fine. Believe me, I'm okay. I'm okay. The next morning, he tells me, you see, I'm okay. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. Driving last night was a transgression. And even if you made it out alive, you should know you might have lost many merits. And you can't say you didn't transgress. Getting behind that wheel, how many people did you endanger? And you know you just had a Yom Kippur last night. Because in heaven, they judged you all over again. When a person does something dangerous, the Gemara says, you get judged again. A person can't just say, I walked out alive, I'm okay. That's not true. So that's what the Nodav Yehud is telling him. You're endangering yourself. I'll tell you, that's also prohibited. If we take questions, we'll lose track. So let's finish. And then, the Gemara says, they compiled the short version of Shemoneh Esrei, so that when a person puts himself, is in a place of danger, he could say, Hashem, Hosha, Hashem Tamcha Yisrael, Hashem, save your people Israel, Bechol Parshat Ibur Yutzochem Nefanecha. Whenever there's a time of Ibur, their needs should be next to you. The Gemara says, what is Ibur? The Gemara gives a few interpretations. The Gemara says, even when you're with Evrai, even when you're upset at them, so you should have mercy on them. Second opinion, even Ibur, even if they're transgressing your Torah, you should have mercy on them. Says the Nodav Yehuda, now it's understandable. When is a person transgressing because he's traveling? Because he chose to travel and endanger himself. And the Torah says, don't endanger yourself. So the short prayer is, even if I've transgressed your Torah by endangering myself, and now you're very upset at me, because the Gemara says, when a person endangers himself, so then Hashem starts looking over everything he did wrong and says, should he live or not? So then Hashem's upset at him. That's what we're saying in that prayer. Even then, our needs should come before you. You should be merciful about us. So again, says the Nodav Yehuda. So then why did our sages write the prayer? Because there are times when a person has to do it for his livelihood. So there our sages said, take the prayer at least.
What does the prayer say again? Sorry.
Hosha Hashem et Amecha Yisrael, Hashem save your people Israel. Bechol Parshat Ibur Yutzochem Nefanecha. Their needs should come before you, even Bechol Parshat Ibur, even when they're transgressing or getting you upset. So he says, but if a person says, I don't care, I'm just going to endanger myself, so he says, why should Hashem listen to his prayer? And that's why he says, number one, hunting involves a bad trait, a disgraceful trait of cruelty. Secondly, it's prohibited, you're not allowed to do it. Thirdly, it's a danger. Fourthly, it's going to cause a person, all his transgressions will float up in heaven. And that's why, says the Nodav Yehuda, if you listen to me, you will live a peaceful and quiet life at home, and you won't waste your time with things like this. And if not for the fact that I just love to strengthen, to arouse the most beloved of traits, to be a kind person, I wouldn't even bother answering such a question. But I want people to work on being more merciful people. And being that I know that this wealthy person and his family are all wonderful people, and that's why I want to protect you and your family, that you shouldn't let hatred be aroused within you. That's why I want you to continue having success. So I'm telling you my feelings. And he concludes, may you continue having peace. Min'i hatarud. I don't know what he means to say from that.
What would be the literal translation?
From me, who is very, very busy. But I'm not sure that's what he meant to say here.
Okay. Questions?
Yeah.
Ready? So then,